Earlier this week, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth met with his Saudi counterpart, Prince Khalid bin Salman, at the Pentagon, and he outlined that Iran is a big concern in the Middle East. And Hegseth believes this relationship is the key to fixing a lot of problems.
80 years ago last week, our heads of state held their first historic meeting aboard the USS Quincy in the Suez Canal. And since then, we've worked to take on terrorism and all of its manifestations.
And this, Hegseth believes, will be the key to fixing a lot of problems in the region.
We've got tremendous opportunities to pursue security and stability in the Middle East, combat terrorism, and increase mutual prosperity.
There are clear signs that leave little doubt about how serious the situation is.
The U.S. military response that has been pre-positioned in the region is something that we can't lose sight of. That's an obvious show of strength that we're prepared to assist in some capacity.
Fred Burton is a former top U.S. counterterrorism agent, now executive director of protective intelligence at ONTIC. It's important, he says, to read what's happening in the region accurately.
You look at the diplomatic initiatives that are underway between the U.S. And Jordan, which is a key ally and partner of ours.
And then there are overt warnings.
You look at some countries like Jordan and Saudi Arabia coming out and saying, look, you better not use our airspace, Iran, to carry out any kind of attack.
And part of the reason why this is such a concern for the U.S. and the rest of the world is because we learned last year that Iran was very close, if not already there, to having a nuclear weapon. So I spoke with Washington Post journalist Joby Warrick, who has spent a lot of time covering this issue, about what he had learned in a recent trip and some recent reporting on that situation.
Well, it's the kind of thing that really this has been happening incrementally. And because it's incremental, because the figures and data show up in reports that only a few people read, and we're all distracted by Gaza and Ukraine. A lot has happened in the last year and a half with Iran's nuclear program. And it felt to me that I needed to step back to get some distance and to try to look at what has really happened over the last couple of years. And to do that, I went to Vienna, spent time talking to people who actually go inside Iran's nuclear facilities because they're weapons inspectors, talked to intelligence people in Europe and the United States to try to get a sense of what Iran is doing. And the emerging picture, JJ, it's quite alarming in the sense that Iran sees itself as completely unfettered by really any meaningful restrictions, and it's decided to adopt a policy of getting as close as it possibly can to a nuclear weapons capability and reserving the option to make a bomb in the future if it decides to. And very cleverly, it's decided it doesn't want to cross that line for now. It doesn't want to give the Israelis or the Americans a reason to attack their facilities, but they can get really, really far down this road and kind of put that capability in their pocket and use it as a deterrence. And in fact, that's, as we get into the article, that's a word they're using now to talk about the capabilities they have.
How close are they to getting a weapon?
So there are several steps, but the big step always for Iran, the big thing that they had trouble getting to was having enough fissile material, getting enough highly enriched uranium or plutonium to build a nuclear weapon. All the other stuff, they had actually mostly worked out over the preceding periods in early 2000s. But the hard part was getting the enriched uranium and plutonium. And what we're saying in this article is they have enough right now to, within a matter of days or a week or two, have enough bomb-grade material for at least three bombs. You can talk to physics and weapons experts and say they actually have a lot more than that. But at the very least, they could make three bombs worth of nuclear or weapons-grade uranium, so the fuel, the fissile fuel for a bomb, in just a few days. And then it would be a matter of, if the Supreme Leader gives the go-ahead, how quickly can they put the rest of it together? And that's when you get a debate over, well, would it be a crude nuclear weapon that you could put it in a truck or maybe deliver in a ship, a big heavy thing that would be kind of unwieldy? They could do that probably in 6 months or less. The harder part is to make something that's deliverable, a warhead that could fit into the cone of a missile and get launched over long distances. And that's probably going to take them some time. But to get to that breakout stage, they're actually pretty close right now.
JJ Green, WTOP News.